The views expressed on the following program of those of its hosts and participants in no way reflect those of the staff or management of WNRI.
The time for empty talk is over. Now arrives the hour of action.
It's time for the John DePietro Show on News Talk, WNRI, 1380 AM and 95.1 FM.
He's a special kind of sentinel.
Mr. DePietro, who is in the eye of the storm.
Suddenly, John DePietro became the story.
Radio talk show host John DePietro.
All right, here we go, folks, and we're back. I did want to carry President Trump, and he's actually going on. But at the same time, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show on this day after the election. A brutal day. It was. It was a complete, not to be overly dramatic, but a total bloodbath for the Republican Party in Rhode Island. And everyone is just dealing with the fallout of it. And this portion of the John DePietro Show is brought to you by our friends at Kay's. Folks, stop in and see them, whether it's lunch, dinner, or drink in the lounge. Stop into Kay's, 1013 Cass Avenue, Woonsocket, 762-9675. Well, we'll talk to them every Monday, and I want to say good afternoon to everybody on Facebook Live. Thank you for your patience. I know people, we had a big crowd earlier, and then people fell off a little bit because I took the Trump press conference. But it's not every day, and it's very dramatic, in fact, that you do have a press conference with the president the day after. So good afternoon. There's Rob Bennett and Joe. Folks, share that we are in back. I did want to, there's Dr. Lisa and everyone else. But joining us, he joins us every Monday, and I wanted to have him on now the day after. And it's the managing editor from OceanStateCurrent.com, and it's Justin Katz. Good afternoon, Justin.
Good afternoon, John.
Well, Justin, where to begin? Let's just start. Let's start with the governor's race. What are your thoughts the day after? We're, I'll chime in, but I'd love to just initial thoughts, your thought on how we ended up where we ended up last night.
Well, I mean, the first thing to note for some perspective is realistically not that much in Rhode Island government has changed from yesterday to today or January or whenever you want to start the clock. It's pretty much the same thing. Now, those of us on the conservative side saw things get worse in that, you know, Gina Raimondo crossed over the 50% line. So she's now been elected with a majority vote, that kind of thing. But I think we got here in large part, a lot of this is attributable to Raimondo's campaign cash, not just for her, but for everybody who was able to ride coattails. I mean, we talk a lot about mail ballots, and they were up 50%. It's still only about 7% of the total vote, but it just shows you the campaign effort to ramp up the get out the vote stuff, and that takes some money. But you can also do it with volunteers, and I think that's what we're seeing on the flip side, and where the real lesson for anybody who wants to be in an opposition to the establishment here, you need to build up your brand over time. You need to get out there soon, come up with ideas, get supporters, and we can't have this stuff where people are scrambling in August to figure out who the Republican candidates for every office are, or even with Judge Flinders declaring in March. It's not enough time. You need to be out there sooner and make those decisions earlier on.
So, again, coming back, you know, it is interesting last night, Justin, where it was very, very important to Team Raimondo to get to that 50% threshold. And they used the money. They bombarded the airwaves with Cranston Mayor Alan Fung. And for the most part, Governor Raimondo did not do a lot of campaigning. She did not campaign with anyone, as a matter of fact. She did not reach out. She didn't campaign with Senator Reid. She didn't campaign with Dave Cicilline. She didn't campaign with Sheldon Whitehouse. She didn't campaign with anyone. She early on, if you remember, right after the primary, she had a press conference right in front of Cranston City Hall, knocking the schools. But other than that, she was very robotic in the debates. You could not turn on the TV without, there were 3 to 4 Raimondo commercials all bombing Fung basically every hour. She didn't do any real press conferences outside of that or just the regular job as governor. But I think last night it showed that the 50% mark was very, very important to them. She was very nonchalant. I'm not going to say she wasn't happy, but I almost got the sense, especially at the last debate, she was, she would not even look at her opponent. She was very calm.
kind of go through the motions. They to me, seemed to know very early on they were in a very strong position, and they just kind of stayed in the bunker. And there was nothing dramatic about the campaign. There was no fantastic commercial. Justin, if you remember 4 years ago, you know, she had the thing with the construction workers and Gina in blue jeans, and then you had the whole High Neighbor with Narragansett beer. It started off 4 years ago. If you remember her and the two kids and the husband riding through the city on bicycles. Not to put you on the spot, but if I would ask you this time around, other than the negative commercials on Mayor Fung, was there a Gina Raimondo commercial that really stood out to you?
No, not
is my answer right there. The fact you have to pause. I mean, I think it tells. But we can rattle off the picture, I think, of Mayor Fung in the Trump hat, and then nonstop about, you know, someone on the force described it as like being in the mafia with the Cranston police report. The negative ads against Fung, very memorable. Positive ads for Raimondo, nothing spectacular in any way.
Right. Well, they relied, I think, a lot on the get out the vote. They just wanted people to not think about the things that she's done that are bad, that you have obviously the biggest one. So a lot of that is keeping her out of it. You know, if you, too much even positive commercials from somebody who has done a bad job remind you that they've done a bad job. So I think that was a lot of it. And the huge effect, I think, a lot of the people, folks in media are saying, well, Joe Trillo turned out not to be a spoiler. But I've seen you point out and others have noted that he changed the whole nature of the game. It was all, there's a lot of battle between him and Fung. A lot of things you remember about the entire campaign season were Joe Trillo. And that means people weren't thinking about Gina Raimondo and the job that she's done. And then she did other stuff like, we're going to have the construction starting up in Providence next week, I think. You've got multiple education reports about how our school systems are doing it. All indications are they're not very good, to be mild about it. And those were all pushed until after the election. So that, as we discussed Monday, I think it was clearing out the field. And maybe the reason it felt like they became very confident toward the end, not only because they know more than anybody else about what their get-out-the-vote efforts actually were, but they saw how the Trillo entry into the race was affecting things. And it was going to be helpful. I remember Ray Sullivan, early on, when Joe Trillo was going after Alan Fung, was tweeting memes about, I think it was from the TV show The Office, of people high-fiving, because it was clear that was redefining the race in a way that was going to help Raimondo win.
Yes, and you know what else, and I agree with you, and again, folks, good afternoon, it's John DePietro on this day after the Wednesday. We're speaking with Justin Katz, managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. I agree with you, and I take exception with them. I'm seeing various people saying, see, Trillo wasn't a spoiler, he only got 4%. That is completely false. I mean, immediately, actually even before the primary, he was given unbelievable amounts of time on the radio, which also, you know, the radio down the dial, especially the person in the afternoon, it says a lot about his influence because he had Trillo on every single day for 3 months and Trillo got 4%. But you can't deny the fact he was a complete disruption. And let's compare, as I was trying to point out to people, you know, Bill Gilbert was the moderate party candidate on the race. He now that's gone away, by the way, because he couldn't keep the 5% threshold. But he was, in fact, a certified party. He was then allowed to be part of two debates, the one at URI and then the last one at Channel 10. And you compare his coverage, or coverage of him, I should say, to Trillo. At the very least, Trillo was a disruption. It almost was like the circus came to town. And anyone that is checking right now, he has completely taken out his Twitter account and scrubbed it. He's gone from Facebook. I've heard from people in his neighborhood, they're already packing up and on their way to fly to Florida, when they're just going to be on their way. There's no way to get around it. He was a complete disruption with the attacking Mayor Fung in that first debate on Channel 12. He interrupted 6 times. Then there was the big story about the Cranston police report. It started in the summertime with the crashing of the yacht. Then there was the sign in Narragansett. Then there was, as people have described it, like the Trillo station. But even aside from that, he took up a lot of oxygen and a lot of attention on things. And then you go into, you know, 2 weeks ago, Channel 10 had the report about the spilling of the oil. In the middle debate at URI, he then even kind of drew attention. And then at the last debate on Channel 10, he still was then screaming. This I think at the very end, Justin, a lot of people saw it. Then he had the big, I have a big major announcement. It's going to game change the election. It turned out it was just him and Patricia Morgan teaming up against Fung. He had the quote where he said, I don't care if I just get 2% as long as Fung loses. The Fung people, what people need to understand is they couldn't ignore that. If you're being attacked, you know, 4 years ago, the Fung people ignored Healy, and Healy ended up with 22%. So, you know, you realize you can't ignore something like that. You see a lot of this stuff after the fact. You talk to people from the Hillary campaign. They then say she shouldn't have gone to Arizona. She shouldn't have gone to Texas. She was wasting her time there. She should have spent more time in Michigan and in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. But some of the people say, see, he wasn't a factor. This would have been an entirely different race if this had been just Governor Raimondo and Alan Fung. Because as you and I know, those early polls had them basically in a dead heat. And then as Trillo became a factor, and then as much as, listen, you can say, well, Patricia Morgan, big deal. But it got attention. And it was on the news. And it was talked about. And it was, you know, then debated. Was it a big deal? And the two of them were teaming up on him and everything else. You take valuable oxygen out of the race, and it was less focus on Gina Raimondo, and Trillo was the one getting the headlines.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the lesson can be learned just by watching the debates and in different ways Gilbert from the Moderate Party and Trillo affected them. I mean, Gilbert would say something kind of either wonky or kind of, you know, stuff showing he didn't really know how government works, and everybody would kind of say, oh, shake their head, okay, thanks for that. Next question for the other candidates.
Right.
Whereas Trillo, it all went to him. It was all about Trillo versus Fung, and even Raimondo chiming in, yeah, I think Trillo ought to stay in the race. You know, it was all about that. And that affects how you can operate. So once that happened, you know, the governor no longer has to make her case as much. She just has to not step in anything, which is why you think, you know, you didn't see her out there very much, and you saw them postponing announcements from government and that kind of thing.
That is exactly right. And on top of that, what people need to understand is if this had just been, and I think going in, the Fung people thought it was just going to be that. And I think the Raimondo people initially thought it was going to be that. They spent a lot of money going after Cranston Mayor Alan Fung. But we both can look at, had this not included Trillo, or if this had been reversed, Justin, let's just say there is no Trillo. Let's say Matt Brown, who lost to Raimondo in the primary, if he stuck with his initial plan, which when he first announced, he was going to run independent. And then some people within the party kind of guided him in, or who knows what deal was struck to get Matt Brown at least to lose her in a primary. He endorsed her that day, and then after he lost, and then that was the last we heard of Matt Brown. But it would have been a completely different dynamic. But if this had just been Fung Raimondo, you would have seen Fung. Maybe there would have been a poll that would have showed him take the lead. That helps with financing. Maybe if you are this, you know, nail biter, and it's a toss up, you see more money start to fly in, and then you would have had to see Governor Raimondo out, maybe taking more chances in debates. The more you go out, I mean, back in 2014, she did do a press conference right after the primary, and it was at Planned Parenthood. It was a complete disaster. It was September 13th of 2014. It resulted in LaSalle Academy taking her off the wall. She then went in underground for 6 weeks because the fallout was so bad, and every time they were looking at the numbers, they were falling. So she, you know what else showed me, Justin? For anyone that got a chance to watch, first of all, Mayor Fung, I thought he was a pretty good debater. I think if he could have had her one-on-one in a series of three debates, it would have been interesting. But she is not a great debater. Gina Raimondo has some different strengths, a lot of good strengths. She's 5-0. She obviously can raise money. She presents herself well. She obviously has the pedigree and the background. She's not a great debater. She was very scripted in these debates. But if anyone watched Charlie Baker, governor of Massachusetts, in his debates, Justin, if that was ever a matchup, and I think Fung did well, but there's no way Raimondo could have handled herself in a tight race against, say, Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker. That is the next level. And if she does have high aspirations, which I think she does, then I think she's really going to be tested. But anything else stand out? I just think it's odd that, and I'm going to do some poking around, this stuff about the emergency ballots, and it's really early voting, and they moved it up to October 18th. And even though Dede Whitman had a big push at the end, I'm just telling you, as someone that I talk with you every single week, that there's something that strikes me odd at how Gorbea, Alorza, and Raimondo, they were just too calm, cool, and collected for me. I don't know. I'm going to file to try to get some public documents, but when people hear about the get out the vote and the ground game, I don't think they know everything that is included in that. And I'm even seeing in the media, they're not reporting on Twitter, you know, mail ballots. But are those emergency mail ballots? Are those emergency votes? Are those just traditional mail ballots? The language, the voting totals of used to be, you know, I went and voted yesterday, you went and voted yesterday, there's our vote total from the day of the polls. Then you used to get the mail ballots. It's more convoluted now with these emergency votes where you go to your city hall, town hall, and vote. And then you have the emergency mail ballots, which I still don't understand. And they even have their own Dropbox. So I don't know. I want to do some digging, but there's just something about this that just doesn't seem right to me. Especially, weren't you surprised the result in Providence? I mean, everyone you talked to felt people on the east side were taking Alorza signs down and putting up Dede Whitman signs. She's making all this progress. And in the end, God, my God, Alorza blows her out with over 60%. It just makes me wonder if he had a padding of votes leading into yesterday.
Well, that's been increasingly the feeling you get from elections, that they're set up. You get the people going out with the notary public ability to get the votes. You
yes.
get people lining up votes. They've tracked down their demographics. A lot of it, I mean, there's not necessarily anything cheating involved, but, you know, there's a lot of technology you can use to narrow down exactly who your voters are. If you've got some money, you send people to go chat with that person so you can even put it down even better, you know, how secure they are, and that sort of thing. And if you go into that knowing you've got, I don't know, 30 or 40-something percent of the likely vote, just by whom you can confirm that person's on my side.
Yes.
That's going to bring a lot of confidence. And confidence makes them stronger candidates and able to be more reasoned in how they go forward with their campaigns. But it all comes back to the same thing. You know, nationally, folks on the right always say if it's not close, they can't cheat. But that's true also if it's not cheating. If it's just, if you have people out there who are your growing base of support, and a lot of that can be done at the grassroots on the right. And I think that will start to change that. But again, Dede Whitman, it was another one of these coming in the last 6 months. You know, everybody says, oh, maybe we've got a dark horse here who can jump in at the last minute and take it over. It doesn't seem to work that way. And once you add in the various technology that campaigns have, and then the large resources that flowed in, especially to Raimondo, you're just not going to have those surprises very often.
Yeah. I'll also let people know, I mean, there was without question a huge progressive movement. Now, where I live, my rep was Anthony Giarrusso. And he was widely liked and respected, but his challenger, huge progressive, Justine Caldwell. Justin, she has been campaigning for over a year. She's been to my house four times, and I have Giarrusso signs out in front. She has been nonstop campaigning. And as much as people, if you don't know the individual, Justine she's intelligent, she's young, she's aggressive. She knows the issues. She was an activist at the State House. A lot of the progressives that people don't understand is they're very well schooled. They don't come out and just immediately share with you all these very progressive ideas they have. If you meet them and just the way they present themselves, it all sounds like better schools, safety for children, protecting women's right to choose, health care, blah, blah, blah. They don't come out about open borders, $20 minimum wage, land justice, which they're big on, anti-business, raising taxes. They don't tip their hand what they're all about. If I didn't know her, and I've had conversations with her, I would say, wow, she's refreshing, she's aggressive. When I would ride around, I'd even see her and her team out. I mean, they campaigned nonstop. And that is the one thing. This is really now setting up Mattiello, I want to get your thoughts on this. Mattiello, I cannot believe he survived this other election again against Frias. But this is really setting up a battle with Mattiello and the progressives. This is not, to me anymore, the Republicans against the Democrats. This is progressive Democrats against more traditional modern Democrats. What are your thoughts on that, Justin?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not as surprised about Mattiello as you are, but I think Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee was on some station today, I think, talking about how he wasn't running against a progressive Regenberg. He's just a inexperienced guy and, et cetera, hug the progressives. I don't think the more moderate Democrats understand, because it goes back to what you're saying. They do get along enough to make them think, the progressives do. They do go along enough with them just to make the establishment folks think, you know what, we can get along, we can work things out. Once they're in there, they see how all this works, they'll come around and start playing the game a little more. And I don't think that's going to be true, because they're ideologues and they're going to get in there. And the moment they have critical mass, it's going to flip to where the establishment Democrats must toe the progressive line or they're done. And that's going to happen. And I don't think the more moderate Democrats get that. I mean, if you look at the woman in Cranston you were talking about, but think about that. For one thing, it made me think of when Dawn Oyer was running
yes,
in
Newport.
And you would read her statements in the local media, and you'd think, oh, she almost sounds like a conservative. You know, the way she was talking about small businesses and this. And if you don't know a lot of the catchphrases that they use, which are ultimately lies, but if you research them, you know what they actually mean by things like right to, or a woman's health care. You know what that actually means, strong small businesses in their mouths means quite a different thing than a conservative saying the same thing. So that's one thing, is they don't mind playing this kind of game and leading people along to think they're more reasonable than they are. But the other, think of the effort it took for this young woman to be out there campaigning for a general assembly seat for a year. I mean, people have talked about how much Mattiello had to spend 2 years ago to keep his seat, but that translates into effort too. So what is the motivation, and where's the financial ability of these people to spend this much time building up a campaign? I mean, it's a good thing, but it's also a structural challenge we have on the right. Where does Regenberg?
Right.
How is he able to do this? It's because there's money flowing into him. He's got money already. And not only that, but progressives, and this goes for mostly Democrats in Rhode Island anyway, they know once they're notable enough, somebody will take care of them. They'll get some kind of job that gets them going. So this isn't just on the right. It's people who are, okay, after work today, I'm going to go out and campaign before the sun sets. I mean, that's what conservatives tend to have to do. The progressives, they've got much more infrastructure, and they're ideologically driven, and they'll deceive in order to get ahead. And that's an important lesson for conservatives, but even more so, I think, right now for the moderate Democrats who think we can get along with these people in the long run.
You know, yesterday when I was, again, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro speaking with our friend Justin Katz, managing editor, OceanStateCurrent.com. Yesterday when I was at the polls, I saw someone who's a neighbor, huge progressive, but you're living in the same neighborhood, get along. And he said to me, not all our votes are canceling out today, because obviously I'm going to vote for certain people. I make it known. He listens, actually tunes in from time to time, knows who I'm going to vote for. And I said, really, what election is that? And he said, Lieutenant Governor, he's a big progressive. We hate McKee. So you have McKee that defeated Aaron Regenberg, Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee. And then he got into the controversy where he endorsed Doug Jablonski against that progressive woman who then won, the Susan Dunnivan. So I think, again, that the lieutenant governor, how much is he involved with the General Assembly? Very little. But he definitely is not someone that is on board with them in any way. But you're right. Mattiello returns. Raimondo returns. Senator Whitehouse gets 6 more years in the Senate. Reid is up in 2 years. And Mattiello has been saying, hey, I got the 40 votes. That's all I need is 40 votes. I got them last night. We're going to caucus. You had all those people coming forward. What I have left to be seen, and I'm going to try to find out once more off the air, is if he makes a change with his number two. His number two has been Joe Cicacci. He's more of a moderate-like Mattiello. He also was very involved with Governor Raimondo with her 2010 run for general treasurer. I want to see if Mattiello either keeps Cicacci, who has a boatload of money, by the way. He's got like $600,000 or $700,000 in fundraising. Or if he tosses him overboard to bring in with, quote, a progressive that he feels that he can work with. So I think that remains an unknown question. If Mattiello says, no, I'm keeping Sakachi, then that is the table for one salute to all of them. But I would not be surprised if he tosses Sakachi overboard and takes some sense of a progressive to at least try to make them feel like they're being appeased, even though, as we saw last time, that, you know, he has no intentions of appeasing them. But what do you make of so many Republicans are saying it is just so difficult in this area to try to campaign when you have President Trump in the White House? I think what was almost cruel was at 8:01, Justin, before any ballots had been counted, CBS News breaks in with the news that Senator Sheldon Whitehouse and Elizabeth Warren, boom, we're proclaiming the victories. Now, as much as politics is rough, I felt bad for both the Flanders campaign and Jeff Deal. They worked very hard. They took on very tough candidates. And, boy, it can be rough. But any of the thoughts of the night? I mean, Nirona, at least we are going to have an attorney general. I know Peter. I have a lot of respect for him. Kilmartin has been asleep at the switch, let's face it, for 8 years. But aside from that, I don't know what's going to happen. This is going to be the real battle up there, is going to be the battle of the moderate Democrats against the progressive Democrats.
It is, and with regard to the Republicans, they've got to start from the bottom and build. I mean, this you can't just come into it at the end of it and think you're going to take something over. There's no legacy there at this point.
Yeah. Final word is, as people are searching for who's the next rising star, you know, the era now, boy, that when you think about it, it was really lousy of how Trullo and Morgan, who were very, you know, they were kind of the mouthpieces, leaders of the Republican Party. I mean, the way they left it, which was really just on a mission to try to destroy Fung. So I guess they were successful in that. I don't know how it helps the rest of us. But I think the one person who is very impressive, highly likable, and I think he's got a bright future ahead of him is Representative Blake Filippi. I look at him, Mayor Fung, he's got 2 more years as Mayor Cranston, but Blake Filippi is, if you meet him, he's got a great way about him. I think he'd be good in the campaign trail. He's got good energy. He's a good-looking guy, connects with both men and women. I think the party going forward needs to build. I think you're going to see him start to get more press going forward, and I think you're going to start to see more of him. And maybe that's not a bad thing because, you know, you still have some good Republicans up at the State House with both Chippendale and Brian Newberry and Mike Chippendale. But I think Blake Filippi is, he's someone that, you know, for a party looking for future leaders, I think that's someone to look for. Any other closing thoughts on this nightmarish for me election 2018?
Well, I agree regarding Blake Filippi, but a lot of it is going to be a question of what he has incentive to do and how much he's going to come forward. I mean, as I say, if you don't win on the Republican ticket, there's no cushy job waiting for you in some agency in government. And so that's going to be a big problem. And I think the messaging that the Republicans come forward with is going to be important. And whether they can find some incentive for these folks. As you say, I mean, if you think of the damage done when your minority leader from the House and a former, you know, high-profile Republican go out and essentially do that to somebody locally, I mean, that shakes confidence, even that if somebody like Blake Filippi were to find the motivation, do the work to start building up a brand, and who knows who's going to jump out and try to torpedo that for whatever petty little reason people have in this small pool of Republicans in the state. That just does huge damage to how people think the process works and how it ought to work. And these are problems that maybe new leadership throughout the party in the state can start to solve, or maybe it's going to take something just much more fundamental and grassroots, rethinking the whole party in the state.
I think you're right. You know, it's funny you said that, and I'm glad you said that, because I know of two people, and they're both successful, and one's a man and one is a woman, and they are business people, and they told me just in the past couple of weeks that they have flirted with the idea of getting involved with the Republican Party, But then when they saw the actions of Trillo and Morgan and what they did to Fung, it's like, oh, my God. Like, who would want to be part of that? You certainly, one thing I'll say, you do not see that on the Democrat Party. You do not see that at the Democrat side. And I think it was Brian Newberry and Mike Chippendale even said, you know, the reason people do it on the Republican side is because there's no repercussions for it. But the damage done by those two is giving pause. I know, you know, I was speaking with a Republican over the weekend that said, well, we need to rebuild the party and Fung was the wrong guy and all this other stuff. And I said, but yeah, but who would want to then be lined up where then people in your own party gang up against you? And that famous quote of Trillo, I don't care if I get 2% as long as he loses and Raimondo wins. Well, he did get 4%. So, he was successful in that way. But it is the damage they have done to the party. That's what's going to take a long time to repair. Because there's different ways to bow out gracefully. There's different ways that you may not agree with the way it went. But to purposely and so publicly, the way the two of them carried on, they have done tremendous, tremendous damage to the party. I think you'd have to go back to, you know, obviously the DePreet scandal, you know, that really hurt the Republican Party when you were a Republican governor going to prison. But this was very, very damaging because it wasn't even like some unknowns. They don't have a deep bench. And when you have those two people publicly going out of their way to purposely knock out the incumbent, the person who is the endorsed candidate, that's burning down the house. So, folks, he's the managing editor at OceanStateCurrent.com. Justin, great as always. We'll talk to you again.
Thanks, John. Talk to you
all right, day. Folks, it's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We'll take your phone call, 766-1380. You can email me, John@DePietro.com. John@DePietro.com. Hey, I do want to remind you, remember, if you have a junk car, the most money that you, why just have it sitting there? Why not get some cash for your junk car? Call K&R, K&R Auto Salvage, 353-9200, K&R Auto Salvage, large facility offering used car parts. They buy junk cars, auto wrecks, family business, close to 30 years serving their customers. K&R, wholesale used auto parts, guaranteed quality, and they'll pay you cash for your junk car. You can rely on K&R. Call Karen at K&R, 353-9200, located 950 Smithfield Road in North Providence. Go with the leader. Go with the best. It's K&R Auto Salvage, 353-9200, 353-9200 for K&R Auto Salvage. We'll take some of your phone calls, 766-1380. Nancy Pelosi is speaking right now. I don't feel like hearing her. Let's go to the phones. Good afternoon. You're up on the John DePietro Show. Hello.
Hey, John. You know, I just wanted to respond to something that I heard earlier in your program. You had a caller that was trying to take you to task for encouraging your listeners to purchase firearms. And your reasoning was that because Alorza got reelected and Raimondo got reelected, their thoughts on turning Rhode Island into a sanctuary state was going to open the floodgates for these people to come into this country. You know, don't people understand that the people that we're talking about coming from these third world countries, they have no regard for human life. They're going to get over here. If they want something, they're going to take it.
Yes.
And if you try to stop them, they're going to hurt you.
Yeah.
And I don't think that, you know, I see irony in the fact that that Gardner fella comes to Providence and the neighbors, they get together and they bang pots and pans and they try to drive them out of the city. But do they understand that the people that are going to be coming in from these third world countries are 10 times worse than that guy?
Right. And we don't even know who the hell they are.
They are going to harm us. We're supposed to be a civilized society. We look at things in a rational manner. They don't have that same luxury. They're going to come over here. They're not going to have any food. They're not going to have any money. They're not going to have any shelter or any clothing or anything. And they're going to take it. And if you try to stop them, they're going to hurt you.
Yes.
And all your logic in the world isn't going to help you when you're lying on the sidewalk with your head split open and your pants off, and he's walking down the street with them on.
And the state police under Raimondo, they don't cooperate with ICE. That's a fact. So they're kind of handcuffed. And even the Providence police under Alorza, with giving out all these municipal IDs, they're instructed, if you stop a car, in the past, they used to say, I want to see identification for everyone in the car. The Providence police, they're not allowed to do that anymore. So you don't know who's in the backseat or where these people are coming from. And on top of that, Scott, as you know, she is going to give out driver's license to illegals, which is, that is just going to, 10 times the amount are going to come in. Not every state has that. Suddenly, that is a new selling point for people like Alorza, Nelly Gobierno-Raimondo, for them to come into Rhode Island.
This is not just a matter of political differences or philosophies. This is a matter of abiding by the laws,
right,
or disregarding the laws and creating chaos in an otherwise civilized society. I tell you, this is going to get a lot worse. And the people that think that we should be welcoming these people with open arms, you're going to rue the day that you adopted that philosophy, because it's going to come back to bite you.
You're right, Scott. And you know what else is? I was trying to explain to someone, you know, if you go through parts of Providence, right, Broad Street, Elmwood
Avenue.
You're
crazy.
You are. But my point is, years ago, many of those sections were filled with beautiful old Victorian homes, people did live there, right? And then, same thing, I grew up in Edgewood, and there was a time, Washington Park was maybe a little rough, but I knew some kids that lived in Washington Park, I went to school with them. Now it's completely changed, and the neighborhood has never come back. And let's you and I be honest, parts of Elmwood Avenue, Broad Street, parts of Providence, they're never coming back. Those neighborhoods have turned over, they're never coming back. Over the next 4 years, the state of Rhode Island could become like one of those neighborhoods that it's never coming back. It's us in the suburbs footing the bill for all these people that are coming into the inner city. That's what we're talking about. And you're exactly right. They have no regard for human life. None.
Whatsoever. They treat our streets like they're trash cans.
They do.
They throw mattresses and diapers.
Yeah.
Anything else they get their hands on and discard.
Yes.
You know, all you people, you Democrats, you're welcoming these progressives and their ideas, and God bless you.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that, but I agree with you. And I thank you, Scott. I appreciate the backup. Folks, earlier, I was saying, my God, they're going to let the caravan in, and I'm going to buy a weapon to protect myself. And a caller called up, you shouldn't be saying that, and blah, blah, blah. Everyone is free to do what they want. But I am telling you, this situation, I don't think people have an idea just how bad it's going to get. I don't think, and I'm not saying tomorrow, and I'm not saying the next week, but I'm saying a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, you watch what this state is going to look like. And especially when you have people term limited out, the way Alorza and Governor Raimondo are, they have nothing to lose. It is up for grabs. 766-1380, 766-1380. Good afternoon. You're next on the John DePietro Show. Hello.
Good afternoon, John. There you are.
There I am. What a rotten day.
Yeah, you said it. But you know what? You know that old definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result?
Yes.
People have voted these progressives in. They're going to rue the day, and they're going to have no one to blame but themselves.
You're right.
And you know what gets me more than anything? As much as I can't stand Ms. Raimondi, that Nelly Gorbea, she should be investigated.
Yes.
I blame a lot of what happened on this election on her. That ballot drop-off box, emergency voting with no checking the ID, all of that. A lot of that. This, you know, you feel that, okay, we have a right in this country that people would die for, literally in other countries, the right to vote. Now you feel like, really, what was my vote really worth yesterday when you see the shenanigans that are going on? So I'm more disgusted with her than I am the governor.
I agree, although I think they were working in tandem.
Absolutely.
I vow to you, I'm going to try to get to the bottom of that, because I think there's a lot more involved than what people realize. And when people hear the get out the vote, I don't believe, I'll play it out, but I don't believe this is as simple as we're going to give you a ride to the polls. I think those days are over. I think that they're getting the ballots ahead of time. And the reason why Raimondo and Alorza were so confident is they knew that they had thousands of votes before the game even started. I think their opponents, Mayor Fung and Dede Whitman, trotted out to the field yesterday at 7 o'clock, and they looked up at the scoreboard, and the two of them, the score was already 28-0.
You know, they knew they had it in the bag. When Nelly Gorbea scrubbed that, you know, scrubbed the voter roll.
Yep.
No
way to cross-check it. She changed that in the secret of the night.
Exactly.
And, you know, in the media, Frank, they paid no attention to it at all. The media, they were so following the circus of Trillo, who ended up with 4%. You know, and that go local prov. And they were touting that. How do you get that they had him at 17% and then he ends up with 4%? How is he putting up, and you have another radio station announcing Trillo's got 33%, and he ends up with 4%. There's something odd. Raimondo was hell-bent on getting to 50%. I am going to try to get public documents to check this out, because I personally, I don't believe the vote. I don't believe it. I think they went through other means to get that total that they were looking for.
Yeah, well, you know, when the president says, the media, you're part of the problem. Well, look at the look at the Providence pamphlet. Look at who they endorse.
Yes.
Are you kidding me? You talking about working hand in hand. You know, I'm not one of these big conspiracy theorists, but let me tell you, something's definitely rotten in Denmark. And I want to piggyback on the last caller, what he said about that other guy. The Second Amendment is your right.
Yes. Yeah.
I visited family in Georgia over the summer. Let me tell you, the town I was in was open carry. I saw more people wearing pistols on their hips.
Yeah.
I went into a gun store. It was the size of a Stop and Shop. But you know what? Unlike around here, that narrow-minded New England attitude, people were very polite in Georgia. Not because, oh, I got a gun, I could shoot you. They just realized, you know, it's a whole different level. And you have the right.
We have the right. And let's face it, Frank, and for those that missed it, I was saying, listen, with this caravan coming in, and when Raimondo does executive order on driver's license for illegals, you think the crime is bad now. Wait over the next 2-3 years. So I said on the air, and I even mentioned where I'm going to, thank you, Frank, where I'm going to go. I'm going to go to Competition Shooting Supplies, 435 Benefit Street in Pawtucket. I may even do an in-store appearance there. You can call John Francis at 401-727-1716. Competition Shooting Supplies. Yes, firearms and accessories. They are going to turn this place into the Wild Wild West. And they are going to turn, when those caravan people arrive here, and they're going to get more brazen, and they're giving them driver's licenses. You think the crime is bad now? And when they run out of people to rob in the inner city, where do you think they're going to go? To the suburbs. So yes, I encourage everyone to go there and get shotguns and pistols and rifles at Competition Shooting Supplies, 535 Benefit Street in Pawtucket. You can call John Francis at 727-1716, 727-1716. Whether it is a Smith & Wesson or a Ruger or a Springfield Armory or maybe a Glock, whatever. But if there's no one that's going to convince me that the violent crime is not going to increase, the more you bring in those illegals, and they do have Glock and everything else, 100-round capacity drum magazines, folks, this is, you know, they're going to make it too easy for them. I am not taking any chances. Everyone can do whatever they want. But I want to remind people, we do enjoy the Second Amendment in this country and in this state. And they are, if they're going to bring in all these illegals, and there's criminals, there's gang members of the cartel, drug runners. Governor Raimondo does not cooperate with ICE, so they don't get deported. Mayor Fung would have had them deported. Mayor Elorza wants to abolish ICE. Mayor Elorza, the mayor of the Sanctuary City, proudly says the mayor is Sanctuary City. He said, we want to bring more illegals in. The caravan is welcome here. Governor Raimondo won't wear the American flag because she thinks it's divisive and a symbol of hate. That's who got reelected. We have a right to arm ourselves, and I plan to. So everyone can do whatever they want. But there was a caller that called up and said, I don't think you should be saying and telling people that they should arm themselves. If you're a small business owner and you deal with cash, you know, you're going to have, who do you think they're going to rob? Folks, before we go back to the phones, it's 766-1380. And I'm just being as honest with you as I can. This is beyond disappointing. This is a turning point. What happened yesterday is a turning point. And I think there's something fishy with the results. I do. I think there's something very odd about the results. They're too big. They were too confident. I don't have facts right now. I had someone saying, where's your proof? I'm going to work on it. And I'm going to try to obtain public documents. I think there's something very fishy that's been going on. I do. And now I'm going to try to get the information for you. Hey, I want to remind you about my friends at Tavolo. Wine Bar and Tuscan Grill, 970 Douglas Pike, Route 7 in Smithfield. Not only can you enjoy Monday through Friday, three-course price fixed lunch for $14.95, but on top of that, they're taking your reservations right now for Thanksgiving. Call Tavolo, 349-4979. Thanksgiving Day at Tavolo from 11:30 to 8, both locations. You don't have to worry about the cooking or the cleanup.
Tavolo, T-A-V-O-L-O, Wine Bar and Tuscan Grill, 970 Douglas Pike, Route 7 in Smithfield. Call them now for reservations. And another reminder that how would you like to go on the road with the New England Patriots? Well, they'd love you to join them. Join Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, Gronk, Edelman, Patriots, Jets in New York, November 24th and 25th. You can get a jump on Christmas shopping or go to a Broadway show. We leave Saturday is the trip. You come back Sunday night because it's a 1 o'clock game. Stay at a nice hotel, breakfast included. Tailgate party with unlimited beer and soft drinks. It's a nice family trip, family-friendly, nice group of people. Call now. Reserve your seat. Patriots Jets Road Trip, 401-274-TRIP, 401-274-8747. 401-274-8747 or log on at 274trip.com. Let's go back to your phone calls.
Good afternoon. You're next on the John DePietro Show. Hello.
Yeah, hi, John. Yeah. My aunt lived in Vermont Avenue, Washington Park.
Yes.
And I lived near St. Joe's Hospital in South Providence.
Yes, yes.
And so I'd walk up Broad Street up to Vermont Avenue. That was a beautiful place. It wasn't as good as Edgewood. But it was decent.
It was,
a lot of police and fire up there, living up there.
That's right.
And, you know, and then my buddy, we were on the fire department together, and we decided, I said, let me go back to the old neighborhood and see. Oh, my God, what a mess.
What a mess.
What a mess. And he come from Federal Hill. Oh, my God. The city, it looks like something out of South America.
It is. It's third world.
A third world, it really is trash all over the place.
It is.
And up on the east side, we went up the east side, the two fire stations, they closed them.
Yes.
On Rochambeau Avenue and Humboldt Avenue. The people on the east side are paying the freight.
They are.
And they're not even getting fire service.
No, they're not.
And I couldn't believe it when I pulled into the John down Cole Avenue into the fire station.
Yeah, I know exactly where that is. Yep.
Yeah, and there was newspaper on the windows. And I said, what the heck is that? I tried the door. I said, the place is empty.
It is.
And I said, and you know, the thing of it is, well, there's no fires up there. But the thing of it is, yeah, that's true. There's not a lot of fires. But those guys on the trucks are emergency workers. That truck and the engine company gets there first to
right.
the house.
But
and
go back to Vermont Avenue, though.
Right.
You were there.
Yeah.
Now, here's something I want you to know.
Yeah.
The Raimondo people, they were up and down all those streets. And all those people voted. They may have voted by emergency ballot, but they voted. So all those people are voting. But let me ask you something honestly.
Yes.
You saw it.
Yes.
Are those streets and neighborhoods ever coming back?
No, never.
No, they're not.
In fact, I wouldn't give you too much for half the city. The city's divided by 95.
But my point is...
No.
What you're seeing in those neighborhoods, and I agree with you, it's never coming back. If anything, it's going to get worse. It's never coming back.
And
the fact is, that is going to start to spread throughout the entire state.
Oh, definitely. And you
is.
Know, the state of Rhode Island's paying for Providence.
Yes.
It's a huge...
$300 million a year. $300 million a year.
And probably more.
Yeah, you're right.
And, you know, so, and of course... she lives up Raimondo.
Oh, yeah, she lives right off Elm Grove.
Oh, of course.
Yep. I lived for a short time on Harwich, which is a nice street, if you know where that is, right off the boulevard. But my point is, people don't understand, slums grow, and once you start to allow them to grow, they never come back.
It is
like water seeping. It's just going to go farther and farther. And the fact, in January... when Raimondo signs that executive order to give driver's license to illegals, if you think it's bad now, wait till you see what it's like 2 years from now.
Well, you know, John, I moved to Seekonk.
Oh, well, you're very wise.
Well,
I think a lot of people are going to. You know what? Over the next 4 years, I'm glad you said that. Over the next 4 years, people don't realize people vote with their feet. You're going to see more people leaving the state. Two destinations, Massachusetts and Florida.
Absolutely right.
They are. They just are.
Absolutely right.
They are.
Right on the money. Yeah.
And what's sad is the people that are left behind are going to be seen as the suckers that have to pay for the people that are here.
Absolutely right. Yeah. But they keep on... The trouble with Rhode Island, and it's been going downhill for 40 years, the people cannot change. They won't change. It's unbelievable. It's in the DNA of the state. It will not get ahead. They will not get ahead.
Not with this crowd. And they,
not with
the thing
this
is,
crowd.
No, definitely not. Thank you for the call. Not with this crowd. That's for sure. Folks, this portion of the program is brought to you by K's. Stop in and see them at K's, whether it's lunch, dinner, or drink in the lounge. 1013 Cass Avenue, Woonsocket. It's K's. Call them at 762-9675. Lunch, dinner, drink in the lounge. K's, Cass Ave in Woonsocket. 766-1380. 766-1380. Good afternoon. You're next on the John DePietro Show. Hello.
John, I can't tell you how disgusted I am with
you. Oh, my God.
I mean, can you explain to me, and I know you know a lot more about this than I ever will, how can that those people on the east side vote for an individual like that? Can you please tell me?
I'm going to try to get some information, but I'm telling you, I think there's something up with this whole thing, because she made tremendous gains in the last 2 weeks of the election. And for him to get 60%, I it just doesn't add up. It doesn't add up in any way. It doesn't add up.
John, not only that it doesn't add up, as a, and you're right by saying that, is the fact is the guy just doesn't know how to run the place. And it's filthy, it's dirty, it's corrupt. And before I let you go, John, because I know you're running out of time.
No, that's all right.
They can say what they want about the other guy. You know which one we're talking about. He did what he did, but the place had an energy to it.
Yes,
that's gone.
It did. Oh, totally gone. The buzz is totally gone. But I'm telling you, there's something odd about the way Raimondo and Elorza were acting the last 2 weeks of the campaign. Early voting this year, quote, emergency voting, started October 18th. As much as she was making gains, Dee Dee Whitman, and pouring money, and you saw, there were people, I saw people, they were flipping signs. They had Elorza signs, they were taking them off their lawns, putting her signs up. She had a tremendous push on, and he didn't change anything. It's almost as though he knew he had a bank of votes and that she was not going to crack that.
I just think I
don't know yet, but I'm going to try to make a request to get public documents. But I think there's something up with this whole thing, because I don't believe this vote total. I really don't.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I agree with you that those people are sneaky, as you very well know.
They
did something there. We don't know what it is yet, and I know you'll get to the bottom of it. Second of all, can you believe he's mentioning governor, this guy?
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, how can he even think? He can't even win that.
I'll tell you why, though. Because whoever controls the vote controls the power. And if you have all that vote of Providence. Now, as much as you and I laugh about him becoming governor, now keep in mind what's going to happen. Providence has a population of 170,000. And Cranston, the next largest city, is 70,000. Now, they're going to give out, Raimondo's going to do an executive order for driver's licenses.
Great.
So the amount of illegals that are going to pour in, Providence population could exceed 200,000.
Exactly.
So as much as you and I could laugh, here's the thing. We are not the voter that he's looking for.
No question about it.
He's going to build up the city and pack it with illegals.
Yep.
If they get a driver's license and then they start to put legislation, these people should be allowed to vote. You know what? Elorza actually has a very good chance of being governor. As frightening as that is,
know,
he
John.
Could be the governor. He could be.
I'm laughing, but at the end of the day, you're right. You know?
I'm telling you, I hate to say that, but call me tomorrow, folks. I mean, thank you.
He's John DePietro.
I am.
He's really in
I try to be.
With his talk show on your radio. He's John DePietro.
Well, folks, listen, that's going to do it for this terrible, terrible Wednesday. Hopefully tomorrow will be better. Drop me an email, john@depietro.com. Follow me at John DePietro Show on both Twitter and Facebook. And then, as always, visit the website, depietro.com, DePetro.com, the official website of The Independent Man. We're back tomorrow at 11.
WNRI Woonsocket.
You win.